All right, a little Christopher Cross there at 9:40 on a Tuesday. That means it's time to check in with our friends at SalesportsTalk.com, and co-hosting this segment with me is Patty Mangan. How you doing, Patty?
I'm doing great, Rick. How are you?
Doing fine, and we're waiting on our guest. But until that time, we want to make sure that we give special thanks to Piano Finders, one of the event sponsors for the 35th Fillmore Jazz Festival, happening in San Francisco on the 6th and 7th of this month. You can go to fillmorejazzfest.com. And Patty, I know you're sort of behind this thing, right?
I am. It's crazy, but I am. I'm with the Fillmore Merchants Association, executive director. And so this is a project of that association for 35 years. And actually longer, but we don't count the, you know, COVID years. But we're having an amazing lineup on five different venues between Jackson and Eddy in San Francisco on Fillmore Street.
Would you say that you're more of a jazz artist, musician, singer, or just fan?
Totally a fan. Yeah. Though I find, you know, going to the clubs here, there's so many jazz clubs here in San Francisco, and getting to know people, you know, just, you know, there they are on stage. Like last year, Zapparella was amazing. The crowd was going crazy. And then I'm at a bar with them, and we're just having drinks and talking.
So when you produce this show, I just think about, too, all the people, the logistics, you know, the scheduling, the hotels, the meals, the transportation, what goes on behind the scenes. Because I know, like, people who work Super Bowls, they work the entire year for 3 hours. I mean, a lot of it goes into it, doesn't it?
Yes. It's about a 6 or 7 month endeavor. It is a multi-$100,000 project, and it's free. So there's no ticket sales. There's no we rely on the support of the fans to give to.
It's on behind the scenes. People who work Super Bowls, they work the entire year for 3 hours. I mean, a lot of it goes into it, doesn't it?
Yes.
I'm just reliving the last minute of my life. Did you hear that?
Yes, I did.
What was that?
I don't know. but I think Randall might be with us.
Randall, are you there? No, well, I'll get a thumbs up when we get Randall. We don't.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, we just went through a wormhole there.
I know. It was a repeat. And I heard that on NPR this morning. Same thing happened.
Really?
Same thing happened, yes, on NPR.
I'm just reliving the last minute of my life.
Look, it did it again. You know what it is? I think that's not even me. I think that's AI on the phone. Are you there? We can't.
Are you there?
All right, we can't even take Patty's audio because it's just repeating. So listen, this is a first for me. I can't interview Patty because it's repeating. I'm sorry. That's just too. It's just too awesome. Or we could try to. What a dog and pony show. All right, I'm sorry. I gotta get it together. Do we have Patty? Patty, are you back?
I am back. That is so weird.
All right. Are we in the present again?
We are. We are here.
All right. We're still waiting on our guest, Randall, member of the Corinthian Yacht Club. I guess we're not talking about Corinth in the Peloponnese, right? Where is that located?
The Corinthian Yacht Club is right here in Tiburon on the bay.
Oh, okay.
It's a big, beautiful, white, gorgeous building that if you are even from, you know, if you're over at Angel Island, or it's very visible. It's kind of prominent out on the waterfront.
All right. So what I'm hearing from Dominic is that Randall tried to get in on Zoom, and then his, whatever the connection was, he wasn't doing it willfully, but his Zoom began to start to replay what he was hearing. And so that's why it sounded like third generation AI garbage repeating. Well, I should mention this show was brought to you by Grays Harbor Historical Seaport, the Port of Seattle and the state of Washington. Fly into the Seattle International Airport on your next trip and visit the Port of Seattle and her historic seaports. Have you ever visited her historic seaports, Patty?
Seattle. No. Well, maybe, because there was some like really good place for crab sandwiches, and it was just north of Seattle, and I might have been there.
I have been in Seattle. I've crossed in the ferry where you drive your car onto the ferry over to the other side to Bremerton, and I toured the Missouri. I stayed at a BOQ there, Bachelor Officer's Quarter, and then I went up to Bangor, and I got a tour of the USS Ohio, which is a Trident submarine. And that was a big pleasure because there were not a lot of people that are allowed to do that. So I did get to see a little bit of the Puget Sound up there. Have you ever sailed up there?
No. I've sailed in Vancouver, but I haven't sailed in Seattle, no.
So since we are waiting on Randall, can you tell us, Patty, of your greatest moment of peril? Let's ratchet it up here whilst on the high seas for you then.
Let's see, I'm trying to think. I think in terms of water, it wasn't sailing, but it was river rafting on the Middle Fork of the Salmon. And it was like one of those family things. So I was probably 16 or 17 and went down a rapid and I just started going out backwards, right? And the guide grabbed my ankle, and I went under, and I went under the boat.
Oof.
And then I was going through the rabbits under the boat, and he was hanging on to me.
Wow. Because
he was terrified that I would get, hurt. And because he was holding on to me, and because of the water pressure and everything, I was under there for quite a while. By the time we popped out, he let go, and I popped up with the PFD on. And I guess I was white as a ghost, and everyone else was white as a ghost. And, I lived through it. But my parents were on another raft and didn't know about it. And my sisters were on other rafts, and they didn't know about it. So it wasn't until we had the campfire that it all came to light that they were talking about some young girl who almost drowned.
Wow, how old were you?
Like 16, 17, maybe.
So when he was holding on to you to help you, were you hoping that he would let go? Like, was he holding on to you almost killing you then?
I was underwater going, let go, let go. But, he may have known. I mean, it worked out. He may have known more than I possibly could have known. I was just, I was a big swimmer at the time, so I... being in the water wasn't scary. Being under the boat and not being able to get out from underneath it was scary. But so that's my biggest that I can remember. Like, it's really strong in my mind. I've had moments on the bay where your gut clenching, but it's more about a short term like burst of wind that takes the boat really off to the side, and you're just fighting it, you're kind of fighting the wind. But for the most part, boats don't turn over.
What's interesting is, because I'm always fascinated and almost like a little bit scared about being at the mercy of the winds. And Columbus's first voyage I was reading about, they were taking the winds and most of the, and of course he was a foreigner. He was from Genoa. That was the country at the time. And the Spanish sailors were like, if the wind's blowing this way, we'll never get home. And he was actually a great, maritime talent. And Columbus is like, no, we'll be able to get home. And they were like, no, the wind blows this way, so we'll never be able to come back. So have you ever been dead in the water like that with no wind?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, we had a race to from South Beach to Yacht Club to Benicia Yacht Club is a 27-mile downwind race that happens every Labor Day weekend. And there's it's about 100 boats that race in it. And there's a rivalry between South Beach and Benicia for a particular horn, you know, jazz horn as a trophy. And that race, not a single boat got across the finish line.
Wow.
100 boats, 4 hours, whatever. And there's a time. Races have a specific time that the completion of the race has to happen in. So the end of the time came about and people were still fighting to get up. They just didn't have any wind behind them. But, you know, the trip from Southern California to Northern California, that is a hard, hard push. But it's done against the tide, against winds. You just have to work it. You have to slice it back and forth, back and forth. And you have to, you know, be strategic about it and relax when there's nothing to be done.
So what you're saying is if anybody wants to sail a boat, it's dangerous, it's boring, don't do it.
I'm saying get on the water for your first time. Get on the water, however it might be.
All right. I'm just kidding, obviously, because I'm a jerk. But we only have about a minute left. If we had met Randall von Wedel, member of the Corinthian Yacht Club, what would he have told us today?
So passionate about wooden boats. And there is the annual wooden boat show. I have sent the studio phone number in, but you're right. We might have to pick up Randall at another time. But spends every summer in Maine and researching and enjoying the wooden boat history and the making of the boats and the preservation of the boats and the boat shows. And, you know, it's kind of like you might not have that much access to getting on the water, but you might have a love of craftsmanship. And so the Bay Area and pretty much every major coastal town has an organization that serves and takes care of wooden boats, like our Free to Be on the water here in the Bay Area, completely rebuilt over in Sausalito.
And people should go to the website sailsporttalk.com to find out more as well. Patty Mangan, thanks for coming on and filling in a segment where our guest wasn't available. So thanks.
And we had some weirdo stuff going on. Yeah, no
problem. We had some gremlins as well, yes. All right, we'll talk to you next week. Well, all right, we'll talk to you next week. That was a first for me, and that was funny. And there was one point there where I couldn't stop laughing. Live radio, Best of Tittle, Library of Congress. Come on back on Sports Byline.
We have the power to lift us up with song.